The scripture is from Matthew 24, 36 to 44. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in a field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time a thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have had let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. I've entitled this morning's message, after reading that, Are You Prepared for the Coming of the Son of Man? So let's pray before we look into his word. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you loved us all so much that you sent your one and only Son to pay the price for all our iniquities. And it's a free will gift. All we've got to do is receive it. So Lord, we just pray that you'll be with me this morning as we bring your word. Lord, open that up to each one here. I know you've got something to say to each one of us, which will help us to grow in our faith and grow closer to you. So Lord, be with me now, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Last Sunday, when Linda and I got home after church, I started to fill the kettle. And suddenly, there was this tremendous noise as the water just gushed out of a broken flexi pipe on the cold water system and started a bit of panic from both of us. Then I went out the front door, very sharpish, opened up the meter cover, got the wee key, and turned the water off completely, isolated it to the house. Panic over, until we went back in and saw the kitchen floor. It was like Noah's flood. Water, a little water goes a long way. Being a fireman, nobody knows better than me that that's the case. But we were fortunate in a way. You could say we were prepared for such an event, and an unexpected event at that, because we have such a thing as a vax, which is a lovely thing. And I recommend anybody that hasn't got one, if you ever have a flood, they're the thing that you want, because that got rid of the water quite quickly and cleaned the floor as well at the same time. You know, but all joking aside, that event prompted today's message and led me along the lines of that title, Are You Prepared? Now, the unexpected escape of water highlighted to both Linda and I just how little control we have over anything. We don't know when things are going to happen. You know, when a tide's going to fly off a roof and go through your car window, or a nail's going to puncture your tire, or whatever. These things happen without even you giving it a thought. You can't control it. They're going to happen. But it's important that we prepare for things which we calm, control, as well as those that we can't. We all take out house insurance, sure, car insurance, insure our goods, our property, and in the hope that we never need to use that insurance. You know, but it would be silly not to, wouldn't it? Because once something happens, there's no good going to the insurance company and saying, can I have insurance? Well, what do you want to insure? Well, you can only insure from what happens from this date. You can't insure for what happened before. And they'll have you for fraud if you try it. So don't try it. It's important that we realize, though, that as important as insurance is, there is one thing which is more important, and that's the blessed assurance that we can only have by accepting God's gracious and free gift, His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Scripture makes it very clear to us, as you can read in Ecclesiastes 3:1-2, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die. We all know that what the future holds for everybody, whether you like it or not, you cannot hold it back. There's a well-known saying, I'm sure you've all heard it before, there are only two things that we can be sure of. One is paying tax, and the other one is going out in a box. Death. The most important insurance, as I've already stated, that anyone can have is that blessed assurance of a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because on our own, we have got nothing to offer. We've got no righteousness. We can only claim coverance from His righteousness, His blood that was shed for each one of us. You know, if anyone listening to this message hasn't already accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and they don't know how to do it, if they've never read the Bible, it couldn't be simpler. As the Gospel in a nutshell will tell them in John 3:16-20, which reads, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God, one and only Son." I find it hard to believe that someone could read that and not believe it. When you look at this world today, you can see all of the beauties, especially now we're coming towards the end of the winter. We're not the end yet, but you can see the snow drops coming through, and there's a hint of new life out there. The sun shines on again. It was shining earlier, but it's gone into hiding again. But you know, nothing is predictable for us. But you know, our Lord is in charge of everything, and He knows the beginning from the end. There is nothing that He cannot do. And it couldn't be any clearer in the good news that God loves you no matter how bad you've been, how bad you're being. You know, He loves you. And if you love the Lord Jesus and you've taken Him to be your Savior, then He will forgive you anything, like any doting father will for any of his children. They can really upset you from time to time, but you'll love them because they're your son. And if you know the Lord Jesus is your Lord and Savior, that's who you are. You're a son of God. are a daughter of God, and you cannot love them. Nothing can take you out of his hand once you are safely there. Now you may think, well, but I'm not really good enough. I do this, I drink, or I smoke, or I've been into drugs, or I'm, you know, drunk and driven, or whatever. You know, well, you're not on your own, and you're dead right. We're all in this room. We all do wrong. Scripture reminds us in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. None of us can claim to be blameless. And that was the reason why God had to send his one and only Son to pay that price on the cross to clear our debt. He took our debt upon him on that cross and nailed it there. And when you accept his gift of Jesus as your Savior, you don't need to worry about that. The bill has been paid. It's like going out for a meal with friends, and it comes to the end of the meal. You've invited them at the end of the meal, they get up and go and pay for it with their credit card. It's a great feeling. And it doesn't give you as much indigestion, does it? You don't have to pay for it. But you know, that's what Jesus done for each one of us. He paid the price so that we don't have to worry about it. But there is a cost. And the cost is you've got to accept that gift. And once you accept that gift, we are directed by Jesus, as he told his disciples, to grow the church, not to sit back. We are not going to be saved by the work we do, but we are saved to do good work, or God's work, as I would say, rather than good work. So we've got to realize that it isn't just a free ride on done it, feet up, sit back, and go asleep. No. It's a decision that, as Rob's already said today, it's a free will decision, and you can either accept or reject him. You know, but God's precious gift is, I would advise you, something that you don't want to neglect. That decision will have one of two effects. And there are only two things which it'll affect again, which is handy. You only got to remember two things. One is we can depend upon looking forward to eternal life if we accept his precious gift. And we can enjoy eternal life with the Heavenly Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all our brothers and sisters who know and love the Lord in heaven. And the other one is eternal life separated from God. And if you're separated from God, you're going to go to somewhere where people don't like to talk about today, hell. But there's no two ways about it. It's in the scripture, and it's going to be fire, brimstone, eternal torture. They're not going to die and just nothing happen. Everybody has eternal life. It's just where you're going to spend it. And only the individual can make that decision, which road that they are going to choose. I would recommend that if they have not already done so, that they take heed of the advice that Jesus gave to his disciples, the directions he gave them in John 14 and verse 6. When asked how could they go there, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It could not be any clearer than that. There is no other way. It can't be bought, no matter how rich you are. If you own the whole world, like some people think they do. They think they can buy their way in. You can probably buy a knighthood in this country, or a damehood, or an MBA, or whatever. I mean, there was one girl on the program I was watching last night, and her title was Lady. And when asked where she got her title from, she bought it on eBay. She bought a piece of land about the size of a postage stamp, and the title of Lady that went with it. It's a big con-like, but, you know, it won't do her any good. She won't get into the House of Lords just because she's a lady from eBay. But the best thing that we can have is a relationship with Jesus. He is the only way. Are you prepared? I don't know about you, but there have been many times in my life, I'm sure a lot of you here already know this, so it's not a big confession to make, but I've had a tendency at times, been asked to do something, I'll get round it. That's an American term, around it. You get around it. Manana, in other words. I'll do it tomorrow. Now that's fine for a lot of things, and it won't harm a lot of things, but it could have penalties. The job might become a bit larger. The grass might have grown a bit taller. The cost of doing the job might have increased because the things that you need to do it have gone up in price in the shops. But at the end of the day, you can always get round that. But you know, once the breath goes from your body, there is no way you can accept God's precious gift. You can only do it while you've got breath in your body. And basically, you can only do it when the Holy Spirit gives you the strength to do it, when He actually speaks to you. So if you hear the Holy Spirit inviting you to accept the gift, take heed and listen. You know, when it comes to where we spend our eternal life, our final destination, we need to be well prepared. We all know that none of us know when we're going to depart this world. We know from the news that there are people been killed. There was 10 killed in Alaska when an aircraft fell out of the sky. I'm sure those people didn't know what was going to happen. There's been other events during just the last weeks. That aircraft that went in with, I think it was 70-odd people on it in New York after collision with a helicopter. The people killed in Gaza. The people dying today on the road accidents, through fires, whatever. A lot of it is unexpected. But the thing is, they had the choice of being prepared because Scripture is there. And if churches stand on the Scripture and preach the Word of God, they would have heard it if they go to church. And if they don't go to church, I don't know whether they get it in the schools nowadays. In my day, every kid in the school had a Bible in their satchel because you needed it. Because you'd done RE at school. And you had to have your Bible. Because there was none on loan. You didn't have one. You know, but it is important that we all realize that there is life beyond death. But it's where you're going to spend it. And it's just like your house gets broken into. There's life after your house gets broken into. But if you haven't got any insurance and your goods have all gone, you've got an empty house. You've got to rebuild it. But if you've got insurance, hopefully they will replace most of it. You know, well, the only insurance you can have for eternal life is God's precious Son as your Lord and Savior. You know, Matthew 24, 36, which we have already read this morning, puts it quite clear. But about that day or hour, No one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Now, I know that particular verse applies to the second coming. And that's just the same. The second coming of the Lord is just like when death, we don't know when it's going to happen. Even you get a doctor telling you you've got 2 months to live. There are people walking about the day, 3 years, 4 years, 6 years down the road after being given that from the doctor. So it just shows you, no one knows. It's not over until the Lord says it's over. But you've got to be prepared that when he says it's over, that you're assured a place with him if you don't want to spend it separated from him in the other place. I trust you are prepared. If not, please give it some very serious thought. And having thought about it and weighed it up, I trust the Holy Spirit will convict you to do it, and to do it today. Not to put it off, not to say I'll get round to it tomorrow, because it may not come. For a lot of people, tomorrow may never come. And that's the whole point about being ready. You know, even when it comes to insurance, we say, oh, I'll do it tomorrow if you need it. Chances are something will break down, something will get lost before you take out that insurance, and it's too late. But that's doesn't matter a lot. But your soul matters more than anything. And Scripture tells you, what will profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? And that's just not just men, that's man and women. So with that, I'm going to leave it there. Let's just bring it to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you loved us enough to send your Son to pay the price for our sins. And Jesus, we thank you that you were willing to endure that suffering for each one of us, so that we have the choice to decide whether or not we're going to enter through the narrow gate. Lord, we just pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit, you will put your hand on this message. And for those who listen to it, Lord, that don't know you, that you will speak to them. And Lord, just by the power of your Holy Spirit, just soften their hearts and unblock their ears so that they hear your message and they know your love and accept your Son. In whose name we pray. Amen.